I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Planta.
And we're Two Peas in a Podcast at thepromontory.ca for Monday, February 20th, 2017.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I guess everybody's talking about Milo Yiannopoulos on Real Time, but did you watch Bill Maher? Or?
I didn't. No, I've kind of been out of the loop all week.
Do you watch him regularly, though?
Not regularly. I mean, if I'm, you know, come across and it seems like something funny, I'll usually stop and check him out.
And see, I like Bill Maher.
He's not bad.
I mean, there's some things I don't like about him, but I mean, you know, he's okay, I guess.
He's pretty straight up.
He's not Jay Leno.
No, he's absolutely not.
But it's not a show that I watch, even though he talks about politics. I just don't find his panels particularly interesting.
Very engaging. Mm-hmm.
No, they're very engaging, but they're just not. I mean, I don't need to hear the left and the right.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
you
I can watch
hear one side.
No, I can watch. No, I'll watch another. I mean, by Friday night when he does that show. You know, then you have Sunday night. You know, you have Sunday morning,
right.
I should say, and you get six Sunday morning shows to watch.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
You don't need to hear what Ben Affleck or Martin Short needs, and I like Ben Affleck and Martin Short. You don't need to hear what they have to say about, you know, Trump or Hillary Clinton, you know?
True.
You'd rather, you know, if you want to watch celebrity, you watch Colbert or something like that and hear. Anyway, so.
Celebrity.
So that's feedback. So the big thing is the Milo and the Larry Wilmore blow up, and I saw that, and it was entertaining, I guess. I mean, I don't think there's anybody that likes Milo. But.
I mean, at this point, I couldn't see how you could.
Yeah.
The little that I do know about him, I know I don't like, so.
Yeah. So
I probably would not watch anything that he was on anyway.
Yeah. So the things that I did watch this weekend that I quite liked, I liked Crashing, which is the new Pete Holmes HBO comedy.
Right.
And that was quite good because Artie Lang was on it.
Yeah, Artie Lang.
And, yeah, and it's a comedy based in New York City and trying to make it in stand-up. And I don't know Mr. Holmes. He must be one of these people who has, you know, comedy specials every 6 months.
Yeah, that we haven't noticed or something.
Yeah. And then the other thing that debuted this past weekend, Sunday night, was Big Little Lies, which is this new miniseries starring Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman, Laura Dern, Zoe Kravitz, and then some other people. And I thought that's
like pretty interesting cast, right?
Yeah, to do TV, yeah.
It is for TV, definitely.
Yeah. And so it wasn't bad. I'd read a review of the book that it's based on, and so I kind of know what happens, and so that's kind of spoiled it. But other than that, I mean, you know. Oh, Shailene, the other big star was
right. Shailene
Woodley.
Shailene Woodley.
Yeah.
She's in it. Yeah.
She's been in those movies. Those your kids probably watch those movies.
Well, yes and no, but she used to be in a TV show where she was like a young teen mom.
Mm.
I think when she was kind of introduced to mainstream television. I can't remember the name of the show now for the life of me, but I did watch it quite religiously. She did great.
She
had a Secret Life of the American Teenager.
Yeah, and then I guess the big thing that happened after that was she was the daughter in the George Clooney movie.
Yes.
The one in Hawaii. And yes. And then she made, with Miles Teller, she made one of those romantic drama.
One of those,
which was actually, I quite liked that one. I can't remember. That's the first time I saw Miles Teller before Whiplash.
Is that The Fault in Our Stars? Or
is The Fault in, is Fault in Our Stars, is not like the cancer one?
Yes.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. It was, Miles Teller was actually pretty good in it. I can't remember what it's called now. But anyway, people can look that up. It's not my problem.
Problem.
No, and the other thing that I really liked was the Missing Richard Simmons podcast.
Which sounds like pretty amazing.
I read one review after listening to the first episode, and they compared it to Serial. And
that's a pretty big deal, because I listen to Serial.
Yeah, and so the guy who does it, who hosts it and does it, is Dan Taberski, who used to be a producer on The Daily Show. I can't remember if he worked for Letterman, but anyway, he actually knew Richard Simmons well. Like, he'd gone to Richard Simmons' aerobics class.
Oh.
And then one day, Richard Simmons, who'd been teaching this class for 40 years.
Right.
Just didn't show up. And then that's like 3-4 years ago.
And he's just never, like,
No one's heard of him since.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was a...
it happens, right?
Yeah, there's some rumors, you know, that he'd gone in for gender reassignment surgery, and then there were some rumors that he has a management, you know, people around him that are protecting him, you know?
Not protecting him, but
sort of, you know, keeping him away from the public and things like that.
Right. And I mean, what is there, I don't know what there is to keep him away from, but...
Or he just got fat again, you know, that's the other thing, right? I mean, if his business...
Which could be disappointing.
Which
right?
is his business, you know, to you know, to keep
to
people...
not be, to be in shape and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I did see in TMZ, like, a little while ago, he had left his house for a brief moment. I could have sworn I saw
that. No, the police had... The LAPD had to visit him because of these reports that he had been being... He was being held under, you know, against his will. And
well,
so,
did he put out a statement, or was that his people?
Well, I think the LAPD confirmed that they saw him. And I think that was part of the thing that... And then a statement came out from him, from his office or whatever, saying that he was fine.
Right. That's what I thought.
But it had, you know, it was precipitated by this visit from the police department, which I think the podcast will get into, if I recall, because there are people that are legitimately concerned about him.
Right.
And who think that his manager is a housekeeper, assistant, or whatever, you know, locking them up, you know?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate because he was quite active in the scene for a while there, and I think people really took a lot of good energy from him.
He was very entertaining on Letterman and things like that.
He was extremely entertaining.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's part of our childhood, really.
Yeah, I mean,
infomercials and such.
Deal a meal and
yeah,
sweating to the oldies.
And now nothing. So yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, well, I highly recommend that for you and everybody else.
I'm definitely. I'm going to check that out. I'd like to hear what they're talking about.
Yeah, and it's a well produced show. He talks to people whose lives have been impacted by Richard Simmons.
I see they're already, I mean, they've just done a little spread on it in Vogue magazine, so.
Yeah.
Must be quite sought after, talking about it in Vogue.
So a story that takes place here in Vancouver that went international this past
viral.
Week.
Viral.
Yeah, was a story. Well, I'll report the story, and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
I guess 2 Fridays ago, the BC Supreme Court, in a case, the judge found that a woman named Usha Ram,
mm-hmm.
who's a 55-year-old cook at Burger King, the Burger King downtown, was entitled to damages. Totaling $46,000 after being fired for taking food from the Burger King one day after her shift in 2013. And it was $21,000, which is about a year's lost wages, and then $25,000 in aggravated damages, which she and her lawyer had sought after this firing from the Burger King. So what happened, I guess, on the Friday that she was working at the Burger King, she tells the restaurant's manager that she had forgotten her wallet at home, but she would like to take a fish fry. And this is key, because they're speaking in Hindi.
Mm-hmm.
There's no word for sandwich in the Hindi language, apparently. This is what the lawyer said. I saw this on TV last week.
Right.
And so I guess the manager had just assumed that she was taking a sandwich, the fish sandwich, which is the Burger King meal of the day or whatever. You know, what do you call that?
Yeah.
You worked at McDonald's. What do you call that? The
like the deal of the day.
Yeah. And so... know,
or whatever those... Yeah.
So I guess when she said fish fry, Ms. Ram had meant fish, fries, like a combo, right? Because then she also took an orange pop. So the manager was busy working the till, and so I guess just said, yeah. And so she proceeds to take this food out, which people, you know, other coworkers see her take out.
Right.
Off the premises as she goes home. You know, this is in the afternoon. And Monday, the manager's watching her, seeing if she's going to actually pay back the whatever she bought. We're not talking large sums here either, right? Because it's, you worked in fast food. If you're an employee, you get a deal, don't you?
Yeah, typically while you're, and even when you're not working, typically 50% off.
Yeah, which is, I think, is similar. Because I actually read the judgment one, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, which is about, 50% is what they offer their employees at the Burger King. So because this was the deal of the day, you're talking about, what, $1.25, $1.50?
Right.
And the fries, the same thing?
And super cheap, yeah.
So we're talking $3-4 in total for the sandwich, the fries, and the pop.
Right.
Is what she didn't pay. So she watches, the general manager watches her throughout this whole Monday to see if she's going to pay the whatever she owes.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't. The manager goes and tells the co-owner of the establishment, this guy has employed Ms. Ram for 24 years at various Burger Kings that he owns or operates throughout Metro Vancouver.
Right.
And so at the end of her shift, or near the end of her shift, he calls Usha Ram into his office and says, or asks her, did you steal food on Friday?
Mm-hmm.
And then she breaks down in tears and then leaves the office. Yeah.
Right.
So after that, another, according to the CBC story, a co-owner of the restaurant asks her if she's been fired because she's running out of the office crying.
Right.
And then the next day, she doesn't show up for work. She claims she's sick, goes to the doctor's office, provides the note, and then I guess is fired thereafter for theft. And I guess what's also key here is that she'd been written up previously, that she had been, her son, I guess, had been going there, and she had been over-serving him.
Mm-hmm.
So he buys, like, a small fries and then gets a large, or he buys 6 chicken nuggets and gets 8 or whatever, right?
Right.
So she had had this, but by the way, the judge writes in the judgment that she didn't deny any of this stuff that had been in her file.
Right.
So, so she's given.
Which is really,
So she's given $46,000. So 21 of that is the year's wages. And then the 25 in aggravated damages. And she's obviously stressful for her. She's 55. She is an immigrant to this country. Has an grade eight education.
I think so that's what it's called. Chances of getting another job for the next 10 years, until her retirement age.
And barely, it doesn't speak English very well.
No.
And it turns out that this is not in the CBC story, but her daughter is ill, like seriously ill, and so she is supporting the daughter.
Okay.
So that's another wrinkle in all of this.
Well, there's so many sides to this story. Looked at before.
Yeah, so I mean, do you think she should have been fired?
I don't know, again, so many dynamics to this story. I feel like right away the labor activist in me wants to jump on this right away, of course.
Yeah.
Because I just see, she came in sick the next day with a doctor's note and then was fired days after for theft. I don't know, we don't know exactly what the discussion was when she met with the owner, but I feel like, too, there's a sense of human element that needs to be added here in the way that as a manager, as an owner, she has worked for him for over 24 years at several different locations. I would think, surely, if he's had a problem with her over the 24 years, would this dismissal not have happened maybe sooner? And was this just the tipping point, or, I just feel like maybe there could have been a little more compassion.
Well, from what I looked at, she had been, as I said earlier, she'd been written
at before, yeah. Right?
And so, if this is the strike three or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, like that, I see, and I can get it. I get it. Like, it's unacceptable.
But it is, for $3 or $4, right?
It doesn't even matter. I know when I worked at McDonald's in high school, it was even, fries, even if you, like the example we used earlier, even if your friend came in and ordered medium fries and you gave them a super size, that's a no-no, right? That's still money out of their pocket.
Hmm.
So it's still considered theft. Just in the same set, like, there's two very hard sides to this. And, it's just like if you come into work late habitually, right? Technically can be seen as theft of company time as well.
And then the last time that you're late for 2 minutes, and then people say, well, you're firing them for 2 minutes? She'd been working there for 24 years, So
after several occurrences, right? And I think it would be, maybe more than 2 minutes. But
that's strike three. So, if you're a minute, if you're 30 seconds late, you would get fired for that because it's the,
Yeah. I mean, if there's clear objective, if the standards are clear and the expectations are clear, then I'd expect those to be followed.
Yeah, but, she said she forgot her wallet on the Friday.
Right, so exactly. Could have been paid
and
back
then she didn't
her
pay,
next shift.
And she didn't, which she didn't do until the end of her shift because they'd been watching her like a hawk, right? The manager.
Right.
Yeah. So it was theft then in the eyes of the manager and
the
owner.
In the eyes of the manager and I guess just in carte blanche, yes. I mean, they essentially gave her her whole shift to... And I'd be curious to know if she bought anything to eat during that shift.
Who?
Usha, when she was working that day, if she bought anything to eat that day.
Probably not, because she had,
No.
Well, there was nothing, there was nothing in the judgment that talked about that, no.
Yeah, no, there wasn't. Because, that could have been an opportune time to engage in a conversation about the other meal.
And to pay for it, yeah.
And to pay for it. I don't know, right? Those are small details. But at the end of the day, she's been awarded $46,000, $25,000 for basically pain and suffering, $21,000 for loss of wages. I guess the $25,000 was more of the embarrassment and grief that she faced over this.
Yeah, because she said that this whole incident has caused her... depression and anxiety and distress. Maybe she lost a job, right? And she was the support of the family,
main,
right?
Right, right.
So,
which, is very plausible.
Yeah.
There's lots of arguments that can be made, yeah.
The judge, I guess, the crux of the matter was whether Ms. Ram intended to steal anything. And she said... because it was the manager, the owner of the company, or the shop, I guess, the owner of the franchise,
right,
said that it was there is a drink policy where you can take a pop,
right,
at the end of your shift,
and that's like typical at most.
So really,
fast food places.
So that question then is the fries and the sandwich, and. She said, that Ram did not intend to steal anything. And so that's why she was awarded damages. But, so after reading the thing, so everybody testifies. The co-owner, the general manager,
yeah.
A couple of witnesses who work in that Burger King, the plaintiff, I guess, Usha Ram, and her son, who had been overserved a few times.
Right.
The judge said that the testimony was largely unreliable. And so I thought it was interesting, because I'm reading this and I'm thinking, she's sunk, right? She has no credibility.
Right.
But I guess, yeah, no, the question of law here was whether she intended to steal anything. And by the way, the owner didn't do himself any service. He defended himself at the trial.
Yeah, I hear that.
And so I think that's why they thought that he was largely not credible, was because I don't think he understood. I mean, there was an aspect there where he contradicted himself. So, I mean, he obviously didn't understand what he was doing in the courtroom. Which, I'm thinking to myself, if you're defending Burger King at this point, maybe not go into court and act as your own lawyer.
Well, I think, it's crazy. Really, it's crazy. I think he recognized, too, the cost of having a lawyer to defend. Essentially, what I'm reading here, what I'm seeing, is the actual loss to Burger King was 50 cents. It was a 50 cent loss to Burger King, according to the court documents.
Well, it's the fries and the burger, right? And so,
right.
If it's 50% off, whatever that is, so you're talking a couple dollars at least.
I would think so, but this is according to I'm reading an article in Time magazine.
Yeah, well, that you have to account for the exchange rate.
Okay, so
yeah,
a dollar.
That's an American. Maybe. It's an American thing. Yeah,
this is. So, you know, maybe $1.50. In any case, it was very, very minimal. So, the cost of lawyers to him would be, I think he recognized that would make no sense. I think he probably assumed he had an ironclad case here.
Because she'd been written up previously, right?
Right, yes.
Which he did not deny, by the way, in the testimony that she gave, and that she had done that with her son. In the number of times that he'd been there,
apparently there was an absence of any formal discipline history.
Yeah, that's the other thing, and I think this is something that will speak to your work.
Yeah.
With the union, is that she had worked for 24 years for this guy, and she assumed that she worked for Burger King.
Right.
But obviously, she didn't. I mean, I'm sure the check wasn't being written by Burger King.
Burger King.
It was by whatever company this guy runs or
right.
was part of. And so...
as an independent owner,
yeah,
he can do that, yeah.
And so she didn't know how long she worked for him or at what locations. And like the paperwork was pretty shoddy, right?
Yeah.
And I guess because of her situation, her language skills and so forth, She wasn't being paid. She'd worked 24 years for this guy, and she was only making minimum wage.
Well, yeah. And this is the thing. Like, and I think this was part of the judge's statements as well, is that she, because of her position and her economic vulnerability, I mean, she's 55 years old with very little education. And a fast food cook for 24 years. This form of dismissal is not appropriate, right? She, in order to regain herself, it's almost impossible. The money that she's been awarded is essentially going to barely help her. I mean, $46,000, that's what some people make for a year. Working, and this is just her. So, I mean, considering the shoddy paperwork and the shoddy, no formal discipline history for me, it's almost like it didn't even happen. Those, you know, one-on-one conversations that are not actually documented.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, if this were coming up as something that I was handling, that those discussions would not even be a part of my case. If they're not, if you want to discipline, there's progressive discipline and there's ways to do that. And it looks as though this was not done properly.
Does she deserve the judgment, you think?
You know, yeah, when I look at it, when I see those things, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, like her lawyer, right? I wouldn't even call them alternative truths. They're really just using the lack of consistency that the leader or management had in order to support your case, really. And I think if they really wanted to pose her as a thief and pose that this was a continuing issue, that those forms of discipline would have been documented when they happened in order to build a consistent case moving forward so you could take action and discipline appropriately.
I hate it when people say moving forward, because what else way are you moving?
Sometimes you move backwards.
Well, no, not in a question of time, right? You're moving forward. But anyway.
we mean moving forward in a sense that everybody, well, maybe not everybody, but usually the griever or the person is made whole. That's how we see moving forward.
He obviously had these things in her file, because in the judgment there's no question that he had these things, and she testified to that, and that she had done these things in the past that were wrong. So I mean, at this point, that's taken as a fact, right, by both sides.
I assume so, but again, no formal discipline history.
Yeah, but I understand that there's no formal paperwork, but I mean, he had his file, and she concurred with him when asked asked by her own lawyer, right? So I mean, it's not.
So she was aware.
Yeah.
But again, I'm just, you know, again, the activist in me is going to go back to what is the actual documented progressive discipline.
But isn't the question, though, the fundamental question in terms of the citizen is that workers like this don't have any recourse. And essentially someone like her who doesn't speak English very well, who has a grade 8 education, are beholden to people like this co-owner, who has essentially exploited this woman for 24 years.
Well, yeah, this could turn out to be a large conversation, right? But this is essentially part of, not really fully the labor movement, but just education in general, right? Like, there is employment standards.
And I'm sure she didn't know anything like this.
And she probably did not know anything about that, right?
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate, because it is typically this demographic of workers, immigrants, people of minorities, that are new to our country or either have been here for a while and just don't have the education, training, or skills to kind of educate themselves on what their rights are in the workplace, as precarious as the work might be. They still have rights. And I think a lot of workers don't know that, regardless of the age. And it's unfortunate, because she's one of hundreds and thousands, right? She just was able to apparently, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, she kind of had a lawyer who apparently she went in to see for another issue, and he kind of jumped on this, which is great. He's been able to defend her, but I also worry about what she's paid to him in legal fees. In any case, there are avenues for people like her, and there are avenues for people to get these issues addressed for little to no cost by advocates who are just predominantly out there to advocate for people that are in precarious work situations.
So people can hit you up on Twitter for advice, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If I don't know an answer, I'm always able to look it up. But I think it's just, you know, education first and foremost.
I think for me, fundamentally, this is a thing where this is a big-time corporation.
Yeah.
This guy, Yanif Mohammed, who is the co-owner of this particular mm-hmm. downtown branch, has managed or co-owns other branches throughout Metro Vancouver.
Throughout Vancouver, right?
Yeah. And so if this is the way that he runs his shop, Maybe I'm just not going to go to the Burger King from here on in.
Well, this is the thing, right? And people need to be aware of these things. This is one manager, and again, like you say, he's running many different Burger Kings across Vancouver. If you think this is the only person who's being treated like this, mind you, an employee that, a long-tenured employee that he's had for over 24 years, I can only imagine how he treats the new employees.
Yeah, and she was making what minimum wage was in 2013.
And that's unacceptable.
For a 24-year employee, right?
Unacceptable. Yeah. I mean, it's just a small part of the story, but did they not know English? It looks like when you look at the case, essentially, what it's tied up in a bow with is the fact that it was all a misunderstanding. She was speaking to her in Hindi, and it was just the clarification. Did they not speak English?
Yeah, but they weren't speaking. Her and the manager.
They weren't speaking English.
No.
But why? Why? If they're at work and they're working, like, to just not have any confusion, why could we not just say this in a language that we all that they both understand?
Well, she doesn't have very many. You know, her language is limited, right? Ms. Ram's language is limited.
I know, but she's lived here 24 years. Surely she's been making these fish burgers for this long.
Yeah, well,
I don't know. I just, you know, just questions, right? I have many questions. But questions remain. She's won her case. And congratulations to her.
Well, Burger King, Yanif Muhammad can appeal the case, right?
I mean, really, is it worth it to him? I mean, I feel like that name now is already tarnished enough.
He
really feels like it's that worth that much.
Well, he didn't have to spend anything other than because he defended himself in the first case, right? So
he did, and I think he would be a fool to go into a second case without getting a lawyer.
And then they can appeal and win and overturn the judgment. So.
If that's the avenue he wants to take, but I would think based on his first appearance, going in and representing himself, that might not be his best course of action.
To get a lawyer?
Well, no, he may want to get a professional.
Yeah.
Get a lawyer.
And win the case.
And win, if that's a possibility, right?
Yeah.
Maybe the lawyer can find things that he was not able, you know, those little discrepancies with the, you know, his records and stuff. They can help you with that.
Yeah.
And it's clear that he needs some help with that. But, I mean, either way, to the victim, she's gotten her, she did get her year's wages. And, I think it may have just been the way she was terminated. I think it's really, I'd have to do some more research on this, but it's definitely piqued my interest now.
Yeah, well, we'll talk next week.
Definitely. That was a nice little discussion there.
Yeah.
That's Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, February 20th, 2017.
In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back next time.